Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We still on the juice. We still Luke and Pete in. Pete and Luke here for another Luke and Pete show.
The juice is tea, in my case.
Juice is tea, very milky tea. You go cup, on Pete. Cycle and off cycle with juicy milk, don't you?
Yeah. Look at my mug.
Best day ever. Yeah. It looks like the way you were holding that best day ever, it looked like it was coming out of your neck. Your head was just a big cup.
Jughead.
Big mug head.
How's it going? You okay?
Yeah, fine, yeah. Good. Staying out of trouble. Right. Staying out of bother.
Did you see that? I don't believe that for a second. Did you see that video that was doing the rounds the other day of a zookeeper trying to get a hippo back into the enclosure?
I did not see that. I'm thinking aesthetically it's the same sort of vibe as somebody on a packed Tokyo Metro train getting pushed onto... getting pushed onto the metro.
Yeah, so the hippo, it looks like, obviously I'm a layman in this kind of field. Yeah. But to me, it looked like a kind of adolescent one just acting up or whatever. And one of our listeners who's, I can't find their name now, sadly. I will find it.
Sent the hippo video.
Yeah, sent the hippo video, basically saying, it's Sam Westover. Hello to you, Sam. He said,
hello, Sam.
Said to us, does this zookeeper need a metal tray?
Yes,
because obviously
give
the
him a
famous Dawson story of seeing a hippo being hit in the face by a metal tray. it was quite, because I know this is probably statistically led and it's to do with different environmental factors, but hippos are very dangerous, right?
They're very, they got teeth like big pegs, haven't they?
Yeah, and I think if you get in between them and the water, they do no like it, baby.
Why do they get so aggressive when they're denied water for a bit?
It's because I think they want to be able to... It's not the drinking water. It's the water they need to go to feel comfortable. Is that Sammy the dog?
That's Sammy the dog. He popped in to say hello.
He's a good
say
little
hello,
boy.
Sam. Hello, little fella.
Does he do any barking?
He does constantly bark, the little bugger.
Why is he not barking now?
He's very much found his voice. Well, because he has respect for the studio. He has respect for the Luke and Pete show. The Luke and Pete and Sammy show.
Got more respect than some of our producers. making yeah, exactly. Noise. Yeah. In the background. Have you ever had to put him back in his enclosure with a tea tray or not?
No.
But anyway,
no.
So this video is it's in a some kind of zoo. I don't know where it is. There's a path that people are walking up and down. Mm. And the camera is filming along the path. And then to the right, it's quite a low-level fence with a hippo with its two front legs up on the fence. And this zookeeper okay. on his own is trying to push him back in. I don't know why no one's helping him. I don't know how dangerous it is. It's a brilliant video. I'll be honest with you.
You make it sound like when the lady out of Titanic is having sex and she puts her hand on the window.
It's like that, but outside with a hippo.
Right. Okay, good stuff.
Yeah. Do you remember watching Titanic? It was such a big event, wasn't it?
It was. I don't think I ever saw it in the cinema. I was reminded a couple of days ago of my partner hates like superhero films, and I'm not a big fan. But like, I'll dip a toe for a good one, like Guardians of the Galaxy or something, which is the new one's come out quite recently, isn't it? I need to go and watch that. But because they're too long and silly and nonsensical. But
that's why Dungeons and Dragons was so good.
Yeah, just solid hour and a half.
It's like it was. As I said to you before, it was. Like a Marvel movie set in a fantasy world.
Yeah.
With all the boring bits taken out. Anyway, carry on.
All the boring bits taken out. But we went to the cinema to watch Morbius.
Why the fuck did you do that? That's I don't know. Isn't that a meme?
And I was like, Sarah, like, because I find films very forgettable at the best of times. I'll watch a film and then a year later, I can't remember a single part of this plot. But I was reminded of the film Morbius. And I was like, we went to the cinema to watch Morbius. Why did we go to the cinema to watch Morbius?
Apparently, apparently it's the one of the worst superhero movies ever made.
Yeah, and yet,
did you like it?
I don't think it was. I didn't think it was terrible. I you know, perfectly watchable. I think, but I think with bearing in mind that like she wouldn't, she Erin does, Sarah wouldn't watch. What was the film I really wanted to watch? Suicide Squad, the second Suicide Squad film.
That looked bad as well.
The second one was good with John Cena in. It was good. It was a good film.
It's just I just don't imagine the part that you've got access to thought her life would turn out this way. You pleading with her to watch a DC Comics superhero sequel by saying it's got John Cena in it.
It's got John Cena in it. But like it started and we saw like a, I think there's like
you're
a
such
kind
a non-virgin
like
virgin.
There's like a it started and there's this kind of like creature that looks like a moth or something and she just went and we turned it off. And I watched it on the plane and I was like, that was a really good film. And yet we watched Morbius.
Yeah.
Or Morbius or what it was called. Rubbish.
It is called Morbius.
Morbius, right.
Morpheus
okay.
is the character in The Matrix.
That's true, yeah, okay.
Which presumably you also do like.
I didn't mind it. I've only seen the first one, but yeah, awful stuff.
Titanic was a massive deal back in the day. I remember my friends...
Thanks for that, Luke.
Well, a lot of our listeners won't remember, Peter.
That's a good point, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, you're 42 now, mate. You need to get with the program.
Okay.
You need to be down with the kids. Mm. And not just the ones that go to Maserati garages on the weekend. my friend's sister was so obsessed with Titanic that she used to watch it over and over and over again. Every time I went to their house, she was basically watching it. It was obscene.
Nice.
She had like the collector's edition DVD with the little film still you get of it and all the rest of it. It was... Yeah, it was a massive deal, right? And I just feel like looking back at it now, it seems quite quaint.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well,
the world's changed so much now.
Well, do you remember but do you remember when these films sort of came out and they were just like in flipping, like you'd only get like a couple of blockbusters a summer, and you know now there's way more films and they're marketed a lot more aggressively. Like, you'd have a film like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and you'd have a kid on Going Live reciting the entire script of the film that they'd watched at the cinema and just somehow remembered. It's incredible.
I remember seeing Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, thinking it was amazing.
Yeah.
And loving it. I think it was really cool. And then I watched it about 5 or 6 years ago and genuinely was of the opinion it's one of the worst films I've ever seen. Like, the fluctuation was real.
Yeah, like,
it was in my mind it was great. I wanted to watch it to see if it was still great. Normally, if something dates really badly and I now think it's not very good, I turn it off.
Yeah,
but this was so bad that I had to carry on. but speaking of, I had a bit of a film marathon weekend a few weekends ago where I watched about 5 films across a weekend. I'm just trying to remember what they were. So I watched Signs, which I think is fucking brilliant. Yeah. Have you seen that?
I've not seen that. Is that the one where the aliens come down and have a chat through a language or something?
No, that's Arrival.
Good. All right, not that then. Signs,
that's also
is that
really
the one with Jodie Foster and the big satellite dishes?
No, that's a different film.
Shall we go through all the films in existence? Is that the one with Buster Keaton and the big clock?
Can you just let me
yeah,
for a minute?
Sorry, yeah,
and I'll answer the questions that you've got.
Fine. Okay.
So, Arrival is a Denis Villeneuve film, which weirdly enough, I also watched that weekend. And
right.
It's brilliant,
okay. Yeah.
Right. But Signs is a Shyamalan film, which I think is probably his best film. And Mel Gibson plays a lead in it, and Joaquin Phoenix is in it. And it's about a farmer in the middle of rural Pennsylvania who starts getting crop circles appear in his hat in his fields.
Right, okay.
And it's about, and it's an interesting, I think it's really interesting because it's about the nature of faith, right? Because Mel Gibson plays this Episcopalian priest who loses his faith because his wife is killed in a car accident. And then this stuff starts happening and he starts to question his... It's really good. It's a really brilliant, like, atmospheric film. I rewatched Midsommar because there's a new Ari Aster film coming out that I really want to watch. So I wanted to watch these other two to get myself ready for it. And I watched Midsommar. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have. I watched it on Holiday in a Hotel. It was, it was very full on.
Fucking intense. I had to watch three episodes of The In-Betweeners afterwards as a palate cleanser.
To calm yourself down.
Yeah.
So you could get to sleep.
But for those of you who've not seen Midsommar, I don't think this is a really big plot point necessarily. Anyway, if you've not seen Midsommar and you want to watch it and you don't want to know anything that happens in it, then skip this bit. But there's a part in it where they perform this ceremony where these old people chuck themselves off a cliff. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And they call it a certain name. I'm going to tell you what the name for it is because I think this is a really interesting anthropological kind of thing. So within the movie, it's called Atestupa, right? Which is a literal translation to is clan precipice. And the idea is that certain clans around certain parts of Scandinavia, when the members of their clan got too old, they would become a burden on the family and the clan.
Yes.
And rather than live on for ages, they would ritually kill themselves from chucking themselves off these cliffs, right? And Ari Aster included that scene in that film because he said, he actually said in some press interviews, this is based on like an ancient tradition back in kind of medieval times in Scandinavia, and that we wanted to kind of replicate it and talk about it because it's interesting, which it is, of course. And Atestupa is now a word that's used in Scandinavia or in Sweden, I think, it's now used as like a metaphor for like insufficiently funded old people care. So, do you understand what I mean? So the link is you're not looking after them properly. Mm. But actually what is doubly interesting is there's a load of associated locations in Sweden that are alleged to be these precipices, these cliffs that these things used to happen in.
Yeah.
But recently, this was accepted to be like a medieval practice in Scandinavia.
Mm.
But fairly recently, in the last 150 years or so, historians and anthropologists and researchers have found out that the sources that all these things are based on are actually untrue and it's complete myth.
Yeah.
And it's a cultural thing that's taken like a huge amount of capital, but actually it didn't exist at all. But in other cultures, I think in Japanese culture, but I think some kind of Inuit culture, there has been stuff like that has been reported and gone on in the past where they don't
leave them out.
Say again?
You just leave the old people out or something.
In Japan, that's apparently what allegedly has happened in the past, right?
Right. I think that was discredited again in Japan, but again, I don't know.
Weirdly, it kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah, of course it does, yeah. Because
in times of famine or hardship or whatever.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you'd think you would eat them. That's what I would do. Give them a little chomp.
I was thinking of what I was about to say then was, and I'm not saying it's acceptable, and it's an awful thing, and you've somehow
mutton
made it
dressed
work.
As fam. Hey? Come on.
Exactly.
That's what you're here for.
I'm a great lover of old people, so I would never want to see it happen. speaking of eating, though, Peter, our friend Chris got in touch on Twitter saying, been re-listening to some old pods, and it's not just chocolate that Pete talks about being on the streets around where he lives. At 13 minutes 35 seconds of the Ducks versus Peas episode on the 24th of March 2022, Pete talks about how there's always so much bread on the streets around where he lives.
Yeah, it's just all
moldy bread.
Do you live in
Willy Wonka's factory?
It's just kind of like it's Nutella on toast. No, it's just like I until you get dogs, you don't really sort of look at how much food is on the floor. It's absolutely killer. It really is.
The only time I see food around on the street where I live
kebab.
Is when like a fox has torn through the bin or something.
Yeah, fair.
I'll tell you what it always is. Eggshells.
Eggshells, yeah, they never, yeah.
Tea
they always
bags.
Pull them out. They always pull them out. They don't like the tea bags, they don't like the eggshells, but they certainly even strewn around, yeah.
Coffee shout. Grinds.
Yeah.
And peelings.
Nappies.
What, in the food bin? Come on.
Where would you put nappies?
In the bin, probably.
What? In the bin?
Put them in the microwave and smell them. Do people know that story? You haven't told that story, have you?
I mean, that makes it sound like I was up to it. I can't remember. Wasn't there somebody was putting them in
the microwave? You told me the story.
And, was he putting them in the microwave and wearing them, I think, so it was nice and warm? Oh, yeah, somebody was stealing used nappies, warming them up in the microwave and then putting them on.
You told me that story in the pub out of nowhere and in your typically vague way.
Yeah.
And I remember vividly
you were telling
at the time,
me about losing a loved one. Losing a grandma.
Yeah. I was like,
well,
thinking,
if I'm going to trump your story, mate.
What is this man talking about? But apparently that was a fetish that someone you knew or heard about had.
I heard about. I think.
I don't know
don't
how he's wearing a nappy,
many...
by the way, a baby's nappy. He's not going to fit it on,
nappy.
Is he?
That's a it's a good point, actually, yeah. I don't know. Well, you could tape two together and have the poo on each buttock cheek, I suppose. Warm
the amount
poo.
Of admin involved.
It's a lot, isn't it? Like, but that's the thing. And it's usually men. I think men really invest in their fetishes to a massive degree. And as long as it's not... as long as you're recycling, I don't mind.
Yeah, you're getting more use out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not...
Yeah.
It's
you don't want them living in your neighbourhood, do you?
It's not...
The microwave nappy man.
Do you think you're the most marginally problematic person on your street?
What do you mean? Like, yeah.
Eccentric.
I don't know. Damien over the road gives me a run for the money because he's got alpacas and he's got and he buys a lot of like cool stuff at the car boots and stuff. I think, but he's quite handsome and tall. That's where we differ.
But so you wouldn't
and his
say...
family love him.
And he's got his own key.
And he's an ex-counsellor. He's got his own key.
But do you think if people were putting a top three list of eccentrics on your street, you'd be up there?
There's a guy who's got like a top floor room in the loft, and he's got like a red light in it. And when he's got the red light on, he's DJing some Balearic sounds. I think that's pretty kinky.
Do people still say Balearic sounds?
I don't bloody know. All sounds the bloody same, doesn't it?
I just think I would love to know whether people are happy generally that you live on that street.
That I live on the street. I don't know. I bought the sausages for the coronation party. Not told you about my car, Luke.
Oh yeah, you got a new car, right?
Got a new motor. Got a new motor, Dave.
What's wrong with the old one?
Too small.
Too messy.
Too messy. Well, I cleaned it up, actually. So I spent a good week cleaning it up, getting a new battery. There were some light damage to the sides of it. So I sanded and spray-painted, primed and spray-painted that away. And I thought I'd done a pretty good job. And I've got no... history, as anybody who's been listening for a couple of years, I only learnt to drive about a year and a half ago, and I've got no history of ever sort of buying a used car.
Yeah, because you kept asking me how to buy one.
Yeah. So I'd bought the Fiat 500, and that served me quite well, but it is a go-kart, and you can't really put much in it. So I went to a car dealer.
You told everyone listening to this show that you were going to get a particular brand of car that you found online, and I told you not to do that. A Kia Sportage or something.
A Kia Sportage. I don't know why you told me not to do that, because that would have, out of the thing that I did buy, that would have been the most sensible option. I went to the dealership and gave and handed over the Fiat, and he took one look at it, and he went... And I just presume that you go to a dealership and they go, right, this is the amount of money I'm willing to spend on this car, and then you haggle or do whatever.
What so did I was you prepared, say? You didn't want it?
I was prepared to haggle, right? And he said he didn't want it.
I can't sell that.
I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, I didn't want it. I mean, he said, there's clearly been a lot of damage and the front of this bumper is full of filler. And you can see where the scratch is.
Because they know about cars. Don't they? Well, they know about them.
Well, he said it's full of filler, and I felt like going, I bought the filler, but I didn't fucking use it, because I thought I was going to get away with not using the filler. I should have used the filler. You wouldn't even have known.
Oh,
and so
really?
I'd fucked the job a bit. To be fair, the things that he's pointing out, I was going, yeah, I mean, that is fair. I mean, I'd done that rather poorly. I'd left fibres from the J-cloth in the paint. You know, like, you know, like, yeah, when dads in the 80s, as we spoke about before, like having little bits of
tissue,
toilet roll, yeah, on their on their wounds when they've shaved. It looked a little bit like that. And so, like you said, yeah, it's not for me. It's clearly had a bit of a bump. And, yeah, it's clearly full of filler. And I felt like, God, I was trying to pretend that I hadn't touched it. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
So what did you do with your old car then?
Well, he basically went, look, I'm a nice bloke, you're a nice bloke, I'm going to ring around, see if anybody... And I presume this is all part of the dance and it'll be, mm-hmm, on his website next week or something.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I'll ring around, see if any of my mates want this Fiat 500, and I'll see if I can get you a price for it, which is very kind of him. But obviously, you know, I was going to buy a car from his lot. So, you know, it worked for him because then he gets to get rid of one of his cars. And so he managed, like, about an hour later, he's like, yeah, somebody I know wants it. And I'm like, right, okay, this sounds like a continuation of the dance. So I managed to part exchange my car. And
how much for?
I think I got about cracking on for 8.5 for the Fiat. And then
grand.
I put another, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's automatic and it's, you know, it's relatively recently, it's 2017 or something. Yeah. So I don't know cars. But I know, you know, that's kind of what ballpark I was looking at anyway. And so I dropped another grand on a car. Then I'm not going to tell you what brand of car it is. You're going to have to figure it out one day because it's too embarrassing.
I'm going to see you drive into the office, aren't I, at some point?
Well, then you'll find out what car it is because I'm not telling you what kind of car
why?
It is.
Why are you embarrassed by it?
Because it's just embarrassing. And I...
why'd you buy it then?
Well, because I was like...
Is there a sticker over the label? Like a surprise car.
I looked at the car. Oh,
what is it? BMW? Mercedes?
I literally just went.
You panicked.
Why can't I have that? Because like I'd budgeted for 2 or 3 grand to get a bigger car. So I was like, right, for two or three grand, I could get that car. And so I've got this car that may or may not be too big for my road to park on.
What are you doing with it then?
It's too big. It's too big, Luke. The car's too big. Oh, I'm a dickhead.
Where have you parked it?
It's on my street, but I mean, next door has to move his van every time I park it.
Is it the limo from the first Die Hard movie?
It may as well be a hearse. But yeah, it's a little bit embarrassing. But I was like, look,
did Sarah say?
Similar things. And my mum said similar things.
Right.
And I thought, that just seems like good value to me. That just seems like good value.
Yeah.
I've already taken a quick fit because it's pulling to the right a little bit. But other than that... it's fine.
You sent me a photo the other day when you bought this new car saying... And literally the message just said, bought a new car, picked up a hitchhiker on the way home. We'll tell you later.
Yeah,
and I was
on the way home.
For that.
Yeah, so on the way home, from the dealership, I stopped off at Wix to buy a light switch. And
it's a car too big for the Wix car park.
Car too big for the Wix car park, and it's got roomy boot, but it's still not as much room as the Fiat. Weirdly, I don't know how that works out, but. Yeah, and this guy just came over, like quite, you know, seemed to be a well brought up lad who looked completely normal, didn't look particularly down on his luck. But he'd spent the whole, he was like basically, excuse me, is this the best place to be to get hitchhiker access to London? Because I'm trying to get back to Bristol. I've been on a year long trip around Europe on the kindness of strangers, basically.
I've just been.
Yes.
Yeah.
Traveling around Europe, just hitchhiking everywhere, basically. And I went, no, you probably need to be over on the arterial road because this is basically the retail park, so people are just probably shopping from locally. So you're probably best off getting on the road. He said, can you take me there? And I was like, I wasn't used to driving this car. So I'm like, I don't know how to drive it.
Back from you buying it.
This is way back from me buying it. So yeah. I kind of get kind of get where I need to be and sort of park up and stuff. And he turns out he sort of spent a year in Japan in the middle of nowhere as a monk. He spent lots of time around Europe this year. So he's just kind of like, just kicking around, really. He had to get to Bristol. He was trying to get to Bristol. So he's kind of at the end of his big, long, year-long journey across Europe and stuff. But it's very unlike me to be picking up hitchhikers. It's not a thing that happens very often. I just drove him round the corner of the arterial road and stuck him in a Shell garage. He's probably still there.
He could have walked there, couldn't he?
But I guess that's not... I guess if you're committed to the hitchhike, you've got to... You've got to kind of be.
Yeah, I don't think you have to like hitchhike to the toilet and stuff like that. I think you could just do some walking, right? Hitchhiking itself involves some kind of walking, doesn't it?
Yeah, but he was interesting enough. But he gave me his card and stuff, and I took a picture.
Why has he got
him,
a card?
So. I don't know. I guess if he's explaining what his hustle is, I mean, it's probably a better story than just I need to be in Bristol now, bruv. Can you get me there? Like, it's a bit less in your face, isn't it?
And what was his name?
I can't remember, but it was on the card. I've sent the card to Rory to put up. I've sent the picture of Rory to Rory.
He wasn't a fan of any of your podcasts, no?
Why would he be a fan of any of my podcasts?
Well, I just think he might. I don't have much else to do if he's fucking hitchhiking around
Europe. Actually, yeah, it's a good point. Actually,
perfect environment for a listener.
Well, he did say, what do you do for work? As I help out on a podcast company, and he it makes sound like a charity mission, a podcast company. And he goes, and he said, well, if you ever need, someone to interview. That's not what everyone says.
Whenever you mention the word podcast in a fucking job conversation, everyone goes, oh, I've got an idea for a podcast.
That's how I've started a lot of mine.
So are you going to tell us what car you've got? Are you going to do a reveal on the social media?
I don't know. I just think it's
I just can't understand
you
why you'd be so embarrassed about it.
I just think it's funny if you find out.
Okay. I don't know what's happened. I reckon the guy who works at the car lot has just tried to. He's just got rid of a car that he could never sell before to anyone else.
Yeah. Now it's a 10-year-old car. And one careful old man owner, apparently. That's what I was told.
Now a second careful, not very careful old man owner.
It's so big, Luke. I can't fit it on the street.
Oh, dear. All right.
I've only given a van a little bump with my bumper because I didn't know how long the nose was. So it's just a great start all round, really. But it is embarrassing.
The nose. It's not a fucking Concorde.
The schnoz.
Is it?
The schnozzer.
Let's have a break, Peter. Right. We can ruminate on that stuff in the break. And then when we come back, we've got some batteries to do because it's Thursday and we've got to squeeze them in before we go.
Lovely.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that. Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We're back. It's Thursday on the Look A Bit Show. We are doing a battery brand. Mikey has come in with one rather rude email. Just said, knobheads, obscurity and voltage in one little fucking package. I give you E Megaton. The little bastard from a clicker long since binned. Keep up the funnies, you twats, Mikey. I like it. And he sent us a picture of a... That doesn't look like a double A or a triple A. It looks like a chunkier lad. But either way, it says E Megaton or just Megaton. It's just absolute. Like the actual graphic design on this looks like, you know, you or I have done it on paintbrush.
I think it's just Megaton. And I also think it's got the SS symbol on it.
I think a lot of batteries, you could argue, have the SS symbol. Logo on it.
Oh, because the lightning bolt thing.
It's the lightning bolt, yeah.
Okay, well, it's supposed to be a Nazi battery anyway. and it's the first of its kind, so it's a new player entering the game. I don't particularly like Mikey's tone, so I'm sad. I'm sad that he...
Puts you back up, I love it.
That he's got a new player entering the game, but he has, so good on him. Congratulations.
All right, then. Hello to Jim in Melbourne. Dave from South Africa. Hello, second submission incoming. I needed to change the batteries in the air conditioning remote control for the first time 3 years after installing air conditioning remote controls. Ripe for this kind of behaviour.
I offer
to you, for your consideration, Blitz Super Heavy Duty.
Yeah, thank you very much for sending those in, Dave, from South Africa. The way you said that is like he's the only Dave in South Africa, but I doubt that's the case. But you are not the first person to send those in. The Blitz batteries have been sent in a number of different times.
Just looking
at the email now, at least five times that I can see, and probably more than that. So I'm afraid not.
Yeah, never mind. And finally for now, Jim in Melbourne. Good day, gents. I love the show. I'm a long-time listener who's never had enough battery juice to get in touch. Until now, I just cracked open the compartment on a Scholl Velvet Smooth, which is basically a rotary sander for home pedicures, and found four completely unbranded white double A's. I don't recall you having heard you mention any batteries without a brand before, so I wonder whether I'd found a mysterious new player. Of course, I understand that searching for your past emails for something that doesn't have a name might prove challenging, so big apologies for that. I don't know whether this helps with the provenance, but the device itself was bought in the UK and then opened in Australia. The batteries are made in China but have English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish and Italian writing on them. Scholl was founded in the USA, bought by a British company, then a German company and then became British again in 2021. I'll let you chaps take it all from here. Well, you are the big boys of the battery world after all. Keep up the good work, Jim in Melbourne. And I mean, it's a white label battery, Luke. Have we ever had a white label battery that has no other writing apart from the necessary T's and C's?
Not to my memory, and I think it's an incredible discovery. I think, really, Peter, I need to, you know, kind of invoke your wisdom here. What's your course of action? What do you think you're going to do here?
What do I think we're going to... I think this is fine, broadly, but it does kind of... It doesn't set a precedent. It kind of closes a door on other white label other unbranded batteries, I suppose.
Yeah. I think we just say that Jim in Melbourne is the first and therefore, you know, a new player to enter a completely unbranded white battery, and that's
it. Yeah. Well, thank you, Jim. I didn't see this happening on a random Thursday in May. But yeah, I mean, we've got the brandless branded battery. Incredible stuff.
Great stuff. Thank you very much to everyone who sent batteries in. Yeah. Always interesting to hear from you. Before we go, I do want to end on this, Peter. Our friend Murray flagged this up on Twitter. It's a letter to the Sunday Times. I just want to read it to you. This is like the kind of pedantry that is like makes you proud to be British. Okay, listen to this letter that's been sent into the TV section of the Sunday Times. In the run-up to the new series, I'm a Celebrity, it stated that the show takes place in the South African jungle. South Africa does not have any jungle. The tropics extend just over 23 degrees north and south of the equator. Kruger National Park, where most of this is filmed, is roughly 24 degrees south. Kruger is classed as a savanna biome with grass coverage and woody vegetation, which we loosely call bush. Sheila Knight.
I like it. It's great. It's accurate.
It's absolutely
stuff.
Great.
Yeah.
It gives me vibes of... I didn't see... in fighting him in Enter the Dragon. I saw him fighting in Way of the Dragon in the office. Great pedantry. If you've seen pedantry of that level anywhere else, let us know. Hello,
outside of Luke's tweets.
Yeah, just go to my Twitter account.
Just go to your Twitter.
That's all you'll need. Find my most pedantic tweets and send them in. I'll be happy to live them again. Take us out of here, Peter.
All right, then, let's get out of here. We'll be back with more show for yous on Monday. Have a lovely weekend, however you are choosing to perform your duties as a human being. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. If you want to get in touch on email, we're on TikTok, The Luke and Pete Show. We're on Twitter, Luke and Pete Show. And on Instagram, Luke and Pete Show. I can't believe we didn't get Luke and Pete Show on TikTok. Is that those other lads that were called Luke and Pete Show?
Yeah, probably. Apparently there's some other guys, isn't there? I don't know if they're any squatters. Good. Are they good? Probably good. Probably better
probably
than us.
Good, aren't they? Probably good. Watch our fucking arses, eh? We'll be back on Monday. So have a lovely weekend. See you later, Murray.
See you later.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.